immigration. It says in part that the number of illegal aliens in the United States is a national security issue in the truest sense. That the number of illegal aliens may range from 11 to 20 million. Illegal immigration, it says, is not a victimless crime, costing American taxpayers $11 to $22 billion annually, and has become one of the nation's largest unfunded federal mandates. So, where does your state senator and representative stand on illegal immigration? Call them and demand an answer. If in doubt, contact the Kansas Minutemen at MCDC of Kansas at sbcglobal.net, and we'll tell you, because you have a right to know.
How do I love to listen to AVR? Let me count the ways. Listen online to your choice of seven streams by going to theamericanvoice.com. For those who don't have access to a computer, you can listen on your phone through our phone bridge Monday through Friday from 9 to 9 Pacific by calling 1-712-580-1100. Enter the code 97524#. This is not toll-free, but if you have unlimited long-distance or cell minutes, it's great. Turn on your speakerphone so everyone can hear AVR, or go about your daily routine while you listen online or on the phone. We're also on KU Band Satellite and on many FM stations, so look for us there too. Go to theamericanvoice.com for more details. And while you're there, check out our news page for the latest alternative news.
Can your family survive a food shortage lasting 2 weeks, 6 months, or maybe longer? Sound far-fetched? We live in precarious times. There is an ever-increasing possibility of food shortages caused by terrorist attacks, natural disasters, truck strikes, or monetary collapse. You owe it to yourself and family to prepare, and you can by getting a supply of our long-storing, freeze-dried, and dehydrated foods. Our foods are time-tested to store for decades, require a minimum of time and energy to prepare while maintaining superior nutritional value, freshness, and taste. Our foods were designed for the space program and are in constant use today by our own nuclear submarine service. Contact the Freeze Dry Guy today at freezedryguy@landset.com. That's freezedryguy@landset.com, or call 530-265-8333, 530-265-8333, and let them know you heard it on American Voice Radio.
Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, Saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is March 6, 2008. First, a few notes. First note I'd like to make is if anybody knows how to get rid of a silly little thing called a JS downloader virus and it has a surefire way to get rid of it, please contact me, call me, or send me an email, because I've got a couple of computers infected. I've been fighting with it for at least a month. Anyway, let's make sure you have your pens handy at 7:50 p.m. so you can get our guest web and contact information. Also, there's a station break at 7:27 p.m. All right. If you wish to be a guest on this program or have someone you'd like to hear on this program, email me or call me with your information. Being out of the country does not necessarily exclude you, so get a hold of me. Now, mission update. We finally secured a replacement van for our homeless outreach. Praise the Lord. We're acting as an overflow shelter now, as the churches in Wichita will not open the doors and the people are freezing. You know, there's like 600 to 800 churches in Wichita, and, you know, the people are just outside freezing. They've got big auditoriums and places where they could let them sleep, but they won't. We're relatively small, but we're going to crowd people in, and so on and so forth. But anyway, we really need your help with the expenses. So say a prayer. Please pray about a donation tonight, because I don't want anything that the Father doesn't want me to have. And also, if you're blessed by this satellite radio program, and yes, I said satellite, we're a real radio program, not just an internet program, not that there's internet programs aren't real, but we are going out on satellite radio, so please consider being a sponsor of the radio program or send any kind of a donation to help us with airtime, as we are keeping you informed because, saints, the world is in such great turmoil. Most do not get it or realize it, but we are in that time of the end. So it's time to come out of Babylon, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after the program, call me, and I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message, and you can also email me with a prayer request or message. And the phone number is 620-878-4682, 620-878-4682. And to show you that I'm serious, I also have a cell phone number, but don't use it late at night, 316-619-4886. And, of course, our website where you can get information and donate and everything else is simply massagebranch.org. Now prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray, I ask that what comes out on this program is what you want to come out and not what I want. And I thank you so much for our time with the world this week. Amen and amen. Every day, more and more people are getting frustrated with what most call it the name and claim it churches. Some call it the prosperity gospel. But is this a real gospel? Do they have a gospel? Where is the end time church and where is its power? 2 weeks ago, we had this guest on with us and we spoke about the church, among other things, the economic collapse. But I offered to let him come back on, and he agreed, choosing for the subject tonight, has the gospel been lost? So I now welcome back with me Andrew Strom. Are you there with me, brother?
Yes, brother. Good to be back.
Well, praise the Lord. I'm glad to have you back on. And you were leaving the country when you were on last. Did you succeed in that endeavor?
Well, yeah. I just spent almost 2 weeks in Nigeria, and you know, it really plays into the topic that we've got tonight, because Nigeria has taken on very much the prosperity message, lock, stock, and barrel. They learned it, of course, from America, and if anything, they've grown it even bigger over there. And so a lot of the leaders that we're preaching to, we were challenging them about the love of money, and we were challenging them about whether the church is supposed to have mammon plus Jesus or just Jesus only at the center of things. And, you know, we saw some pretty good, you know, breakthroughs with leaders over there. You know, they really, I think, were very surprised to hear a Westerner making those kind of comments. But, you know, it's time that we go over there and undo a lot of the damage that we have done. I mean, the West is responsible, and particularly, sadly, America has spread prosperity doctrine to a whole lot of very, very poor nations, and it's just sick what's happening over there. I mean, it's one thing to have prosperity doctrine in a rich country like America, but you spread it to poor nations, and, you know, it's just awful, really.
Right. In fact, that was going to be my question. You know, when you first said that, this being preached in a poor country, that would just devastate the people. You know, like you say, it's one thing here where people do have, I wouldn't call America rich, I guess I see too many poor people, but it's one thing here, but over there, that's just, you know, got to take everything they got away.
Well, you know, just like here, prosperity doctrine, the people that it works most for are wealthy businessmen, but more than anything, it works for preachers. And the same thing is true the world over. And what happens is, in a lot of these poor countries, there's a certain top echelon of preachers that are getting wealthy way beyond the normal income of any of the people, you know, the normal people in that nation, and especially the poor people. And so, you know, the preachers are becoming enriched around the world, and you know, certain kind of super pastors and mega churches, they're springing up all over the world in poor countries. And you know, really, that's very, very, very sick. And, it's one thing to happen in America where everybody's got the standard of living where, you know, they can pour money into these ministries, even though it's sad that it's happening. But, you know, to have rich pastors in a very poor nation, it's one of the worst things you can even imagine. It's so anti-scripture, it's so anti-Jesus. I mean, you can't imagine anything further from the way that the apostles and the way that Jesus lived. It is sad, and it's very easily challenged. I mean, I only have to start being basically blatantly honest when I'm talking to these leaders, and it's so obvious that it's wrong. It's not difficult to bowl it over, but they just haven't had a question. That's the problem. In Nigeria, it's so deeply ingrained, it's so commonly taught. You see posters and signs everywhere, right across Lagos, the main city, advertising, success crusades and how to be financially blessed. You go to a seminar, you go to every event just about is wrapped around money and success and getting ahead. And, I just pointed out that the real gospel is about the cross, which is about dying to yourself, whereas all of these advertisements and things are about enriching yourself. They're the exact opposite. It's a gospel of selfishness and of selfish gain. It's the opposite of the cross, where Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me and die to yourself and deny yourself. These things are the opposite of one another. And when I preach that kind of thing, it really, you could see the gears turning over in some of these guys' heads. And, they had to agree with that. And that's why I say prosperity doctrine is not actually that difficult to bring down. It's just that they've never even thought of it. They've never even had it questioned,
Okay. Well, kind of switch to a couple things. Number one, as I grew up, I always kind of had a vision in my head of what a pastor or preacher was supposed to be. And, to me, he always seemed like the poorest guy on the block, where he gave everything, people would give him money and he just turned right around and give it to the poor, and was consistently helping them. And so I guess the other thing that I'd have to say is this prosperity gospel, has this built us a hatred to the poor? I mean, I notice this in Wichita, Kansas, where I minister to the poor and the homeless, and there's like 600 to 800 churches, and right now, the Overflow Shelter, which was a church that was paid $37,000 for 3 months by the city of Wichita to let in a small number of people, has now closed, even though it's still freezing out, that 37 ran out. And none of these other 800 churches are ready to bring in the people. Isn't there something wrong with this picture?
Yes, and that's why judgment is coming upon the American church, and ultimately judgment, sadly, is coming upon the nation, and not only America, but all the Western nations, including New Zealand, where I come from. We're all headed for the same judgments because we have invented a selfish Christianity that doesn't care for the poor. And such a thing is the opposite of the Gospels. And, again, recently being in Nigeria, I said to them, around the world, sadly, the Spirit-filled churches, the Pentecostals and the Spirit-filled type of churches, we have become renowned for holding extravagant meetings, but we seem to be the last ones to go out and help the poor. We leave that to the kind of mainstream churches and non-spirit-filled churches have been better at helping the poor, and that's a disgrace. We, as spirit-filled people, we ought to be the most active amongst the poor, and helping the widows and the orphans is just basic Christianity. And in fact, the judgment that takes place between the sheep and the goats, if you notice, people are thrown into hell based on what they did amongst the poor. And it's an incredibly important, very, very crucial aspect of you know, the Gospels through and through.
Listen to me, my brother. You point out the Scripture, which, you know, I'm in total agreement with you, 100%. But, you know, as we read through the Gospel, you know, Messiah says he came to the poor, you know, and we have that Scripture, and we have, you know, loving your neighbor as yourself. You know, I just don't understand, you know, other than the church is corrupt, just how do they get by all that? I mean, people read it, and they say it, and they say, well, the church is about love, but how do we get this far, and there's no outward expression of it?
Well, you know, I've got a couple of... I've got a couple of articles on my website. One's called We've Lost Christianity, and the other one's called We've Lost the Gospel. Now, those two things, if you lose them, I mean, what are we doing? What kind of religion have we invented? Because it's not Christianity. If it's not amongst the poor, if it's not preaching a full gospel, a powerful gospel that transforms lives,
amen,
that brings people to the cross, that rids them of their sins, that cleanses their conscience, that has them walking in purity and holiness before God. If it's not that kind of gospel, which basically today it's not, if it's not a Christianity that is seeing, you know, the power of God demonstrated amongst the poor, which was the basic thing that the apostles were doing every day. They were amongst the poor people, there was miracles, there was deliverance, there was healings, and there was a transforming gospel being preached every day. Well, we've lost all those basic things, and you take them away, basically you don't have anything of the New Testament that's important left. You know, all you've got is a bunch of meetings going on. So we have meetings and meetings and meetings, and we think it's church. Mm-hmm. It's nothing like church. It's nothing like New Testament. We've invented for ourselves a different religion is what we've done. And, you know, it's impossible to state strongly enough the disaster that is upon us and the judgment that is about to hit because of all of this. I mean, God cannot have a church in the world in the state that we have created it. You know, he just can't have that. And we're supposed to be representing him, and we're turning the whole world off to Jesus because the state, you know, the state that the church has gotten into. And yeah, we've totally forgotten, you know, the priorities of the New Testament. We're all completely out of whack.
Well, right, you know, just for the record, you know, I'm Messianic, but, you know, I guess you could call me a Messianic Apostle because I believe in, you know, the full gospel, all the gifts of the Spirit, healings, and we believe in manifestations. But, you know, we study the Torah. Basically, we're all about the same except that we kind of keep different holidays. But my point is this, you know, as we study the Torah, we find out that, you know, over and over in the Torah, it tells us, you know, how to care for each other and to stretch out your hand to the poor person, you know. And then when we see it and read it in the New Testament, you know, it's the same gospel, just saying it over and over. In fact, that's what Messiah was preaching, you know, the same words, that we were to love our neighbors. In fact, that's what was in the Old Testament, was the same thing. And so, you know, I just really am amazed at how far this away from God the church has got. Can we even call them the church?
Well, you know, that's a great question, and I just don't know what we I don't know what we're trying to do. Sorry about that. I don't know what we're trying to do. You know, the gospel also, you know, just getting past the issue of the poor. You know, the glaring thing I notice about our gospel today, you know, I've studied revival history for many years, and that's one of my one of the themes of my ministry. I run a website called revivalschool.com, and revival really is a passionate concern of mine, has been for many years. Well, the gospel that gets preached in revivals is really a gospel that's recovered from the New Testament. And it's only when you start looking into it, you start realizing, man, we have lost so much of the New Testament gospel. And really, the key theme that I see that we've lost is this whole idea of the total cleansing and the replace, you know, Jesus literally, not this little prayer of ask Jesus into your heart, but actually, you know, the transformed life where Christ is in us, the hope of glory, and not just him himself, but his righteousness, his holiness is living inside of us. We have a clean conscience before God, and we keep it clean, and we walk before him in purity, and our conscience is totally clean at every moment of every day, washed in the blood of Jesus. All of these kind of concepts in the modern church have been completely lost. And so what we have is a bunch of people walking around who don't have any consciousness of the cleansing of Jesus on a moment-by-moment basis. In other words, they feel their sin, they're walking in sin, they're walking in various kinds of compromise, they haven't deeply repented. You know, we don't teach people to deeply repent. We don't teach them how to get filled with the Holy Spirit and walk in the Holy Spirit as, you know, as a conscious experience of holiness before God. We don't teach people how to have clean hands and a pure heart before God. You know, basically, we've lost the gospel of cleansing and of purity and of holiness, and therefore we've lost all the power, because the power accompanies the purity. And we've lost the purity, and so the church is mired in worldliness and compromise and sin of all kinds. And these people just come along to church every week, and they kind of get lulled with a warm sermon. They go home still in their sins. And calling themselves a Christian the whole time, and then people come along and say, oh, well, once saved, always saved, so therefore, yeah, you can be totally conscious of being a sinner and still in your sins and still falling over continuously and just walk wallowing around in the mire, and they say, oh, but God will still save you. Well, you know, my approach to that is, that's complete nonsense and garbage. The New Testament only knows one kind of Christian, and that's the kind that's washed in the blood of Jesus, walking in conscience before God. You know, we've lost all that out of our gospel.
And right, you know, the scripture says, once we receive the knowledge of the truth and we continue on in sin, there remains no sacrifice for our sins. In other words, Messiah is taken away. There's no such thing as once saved, always saved. You're pardoned for sins past, but that does not give you a license to continue on in sin. And the church doesn't preach that repentance thing because they're afraid they're going to run down the church and give their money to the church down the street. And that's also why they don't like the poor, I think, is because they have nothing to give, so they don't want them in the first place to upset their other people.
Well, you know, clearly Jesus went to the very least, and not only that, he tells his disciples, he said, when you give a feast, specifically invite those who cannot pay you back. Now, and scripture is very clear that when you give to the poor, you're lending to God. So there's, what's happened is, we've got everything upside down. We go to the rich because they can pay us back. We hold feasts for the rich because they can give us bigger tithes or whatever. And we're forgetting the Gospels where Jesus clearly said, he said, when you hold a feast, invite the lame and the halt and those who can never repay you. And you know, great will be your reward in heaven. Well, we forget completely about that. In fact, we disobey those kind of scriptures continually, and you know, those commands are very, very important to Jesus.
Yeah,
there's people going to end up in hell merely, in my opinion, it's very clear in scripture that there's people going to end up in hell because of the way they have ignored the poor. And there's going to be a lot of surprised, very shocked preachers on Judgment Day, I can tell you that.
Well, I wholeheartedly agree. In fact, that you know, we used to just go over and serve Thanksgiving dinner, but now we go over and, you know, stay all night for Thanksgiving and stay with the poor. And Thanksgiving was one of my favorite holidays, you know. I'd have family and friends at home, you know, but, you know, the Lord hit me and said, well, you know, you're supposed to be over there with them. And the same thing when we celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles, which is an 8-day celebration. So we just brought to bring the homeless and the poor in and feast with them every day instead of doing it with, you know, our rich friends, you know, as you would say, rich friends and things, because that's what the scripture says we are to do. But more than that, I have the conviction in my heart, as my family does, and that if we don't do it, I'm completely convicted on it.
Yeah, and I agree, brother, and I wish more were convicted. I mean, there are, you know, there's there's struggling Christian ministries all over the country that are ministering to the poor, and they don't receive a lot of attention. They're not the big mega ministries. The big mega ministries are holding fancy meetings and charging $75 for a weekend to hold a conference that you go to and get all hyped up. But, you know, I was part of the prophetic movement. You know, the prophetic movement specializes in hypey conferences that you have to pay for a weekend. And, you know, I question totally, is this Christianity at the end of the day? You know, there's no mention of the poor. There's no involvement with the poor. There's no real, you know, there's just all this fluffy nonsense going on. And, you know,
let me interrupt. We got 30 seconds left before break time. Why don't you give your website so people that don't know it already can go over and look at it, and then we'll go to break, and then you can pick up that about the prophetic movement or that you left and everything.
Okay, it's www.revivalschool.com.
All right, praise the Lord. We'll be back, Saints, in just a few minutes, and we'll be back with more of Andrew Strom, and I pray that you tune back in. Let's go to commercial. We may have him beat by about 3 seconds. Praise the Lord.
Pastor Dan will be right back.
SwissAmerica.com reports Thursday gold dipped below $975 an ounce on profit-taking. Gold closed in New York down $15.40 to $973.90. Silver fell 65 cents to $20.14. A great gold bull has broken free of its chains. The U.S. public is unaware of the great phenomenon playing out before their eyes. Somewhere ahead, the U.S. public will enter the bull market, says Richard Russell. More at SwissAmerica.com. In 2008, gold entered a new investment-driven phase that'll push prices above $1,000 an ounce and $2,000 an ounce in the next few years, according to Swiss America. Rising inflation is likely the next economic volcano to erupt. Call today for a free copy of Gold, The Next Stage at 888-732-7411. That's 888-732-7411. Again, 888-732-7411 before gold prices erupt further.
The National Americanism Commission of the American Legion has a lot to say in its recent study about illegal immigration. The report says children are becoming victims of crimes perpetrated by illegal aliens in the United States. Citing a January 2007 report by a Homeland Security program called Operation Predator, aimed at child predators, more than 6,000 arrests of illegal aliens took place, averaging 250 arrests per month, or 8 arrests per day. Meanwhile, immigration, both legal and illegal, is having a profound effect on public schools nationwide, says the American Legion report. So, where does your state senator and representative stand on illegal immigration? Call them and demand an answer. If in doubt, contact the Kansas Minutemen at MCDC of Kansas at sbcglobal.net and we'll tell you, because you have a right to know.
Time is money and knowledge is power. That's why you need the Basic Research Library CD from the American Voice now. This CD contains the Federalist Papers, which are the definitive writings illustrating the intent of the Constitution, and the Anti-Federalist Papers, which read like a crystal ball to everything gone wrong concerning the present-day Constitution. This CD also contains Bouvier's Law Dictionary and the Uniform Commercial Code, plus the inaugural speeches of the U.S. presidents, the U.N. Charter, NAFTA, Hitler's Mein Kampf, the full Communist Manifesto, the Patriot Act 1 and 2, the model anti-bioterrorism law, the Homeland Security Bill, the FBI's Project Nadigo, and too much more to mention here. The CD contains over 1,000 files. To order your CD, go to www.theamericanvoice.com or call us at 541-826-9050. That's 541-826-9050 for ordering information.
You're listening to the best in alternative talk radio, AVR, the American Voice Radio Network. Listen online at theamericanvoice.com. We're on KU Band Satellite, Galaxy 25, Transponder 5, Frequency 11836. And remember, AVR is free for all anti-New World Order Saturdays.
This is Pastor Dan, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Remember, consider a donation for our work with the homeless and poor in Wichita. They need your help. And we're now back with Andrew Strom. Praise the Lord. You there, Andrew?
I'm here, brother.
Okay. You know, this is a long time ago. Somebody sent me an email, and that was the caption on the email. It said, it was Andrew Strom, and it was why I quit the prophetic movement. You started to talk about that. Do you care to go into that just a little bit, or
sure, it has
to do with the gospel?
Yeah, I think it's probably better to apply it to kind of what we're talking about today. It's much wider than just the prophetic movement. It's really a church-wide thing. I mean, we're so meetings-oriented, you know, we're so stuck inside our four walls, basically talking to ourselves and singing to ourselves and using beautiful sound systems aimed at ourselves and all the rest of it. Really, it's a church problem. It's not just the prophetic movement. The prophetic movement is just a symptom of what's gone wrong. You know, prophetic movement basically is invented a new form of prophecy, which is largely ear tickling, disguised as prophetic words. And we just have in every way become a culture of selfishness to a very large degree, and the church just won't put up with hard words, and we also won't embrace real Christianity. My view of real Christianity has actually changed a lot just in the last, I guess, half decade. God's forced me to look a lot harder at the poor, and I guess the issue of money has come to the fore more than I had thought about it before. It was a very important issue to Jesus, and even prosperity teachers will tell you, they say, you know, Jesus spoke about money virtually more than anything else. Well, that's absolutely true. He spoke against it, you know.
He spoke against
it continuously, and they act like Jesus spoke for it or something. He clearly said you cannot serve God and mammon. And what's mammon? Mammon is the god of money. So
yeah.
He's speaking against it continuously in the Gospels, and he's saying, you know, that our style of Christianity really is totally unscriptural. Well, we go along on Sunday morning, everybody sits in the pew, everybody stands up and sings songs and sits down again, and someone speaks a sermon, and they take up an offering, and everybody goes home again thinking that we've had church. Well, that's not true at all. What we've done is we've just collected ourselves and had a little ritual, hopefully a good one, hopefully some anointed preaching. But, you know, church is what we are. We're either the church or we're not. And if we are the church, we will be doing the works of Jesus. We will be having the impact, and we'll be concentrating on the things that the apostles concentrated on, and we'll be out there doing those things and being those things in the world, and the church simply isn't doing or being those things, you know, today's church. So we've got to ask the question of what exactly is it, you know, that we've got. If it's not the church, it's not the true church, why are we focusing everything around these meetings inside little boxes that cost a fortune, or big boxes that cost a fortune and get used once or twice a week, you know? So there's much to be asked, and There are prophecies of the Last Days Church coming out of her cathedrals and coming into a real Christianity out where the people are, out where the Book of Acts church lived, which was not inside cathedrals, not inside expensive church buildings, but basically out where the people were. And I believe strongly that God is about to bring a massive reformation, a massive shaking to the church. That's the prophetic I believe in. I believe in a prophetic that calls to the church and says, you're lukewarm. The true prophets of God cry out to you to get rid of your idolatry of money, your comfort and your materialism, your apathy, and get out of the four walls and start living real Christianity. That's, to me, real prophetic. And the reason I left the prophetic movement is because it no longer stands for any of that. You know, guys like David Wilkerson do stand for that.
Oh, amen.
But the prophetic movement of today that's come to be, you know, in America is just so flaky and so selfish-oriented and so full of ear-tickling words that, you know, I just don't want any part of it.
Okay, a couple of small questions. First, a comment about David Wilkerson. His life, one great big amen. In fact, when I was a young, probably about 12 years old, I read his book, The Cross and the Switchblade, and I was really hooked. That was about the same time that I had a vision of four angels on my bed. But anyway, so do you think we're being, with this prophetic movement that's going on, and I think this probably hits partly to the root of the cause of things. Do you think we're being plagued now by too many prophets? I mean, every time you turn on the internet, you know, I get emails consistently of different prophecies from people I've never heard of, have no idea their background or whatever, you know, and they're all basically saying things that back up the news, you know, and I question, you know, are we being plagued by prophets? Is there supposed to be this many, or what do you think?
I think God wants to restore the office of prophet. It's a New Testament office as well as Old Testament.
Well, of course.
I think God wants to restore real apostles. And, you know, the hallmark of, I mean, today is a big trend in the church. Everybody wants to be a super apostle. They all go around handing one another business cards with apostle so-and-so on it. And, again, a completely unscriptural is taking on titles. Jesus said, don't let any man call you rabbi, or teacher, because there's a lot of pride in these titles and a lot of jostling for position and jostling for power. And, you know, again, I don't want any part of it. And a lot of the so-called apostolic movement is just about a power play. And, we used to call them bishops. Now you've got to call yourself apostle so-and-so. Otherwise, you don't get the respect in the organization, you know. So I don't want any part of that. I don't believe it's prophetic or apostolic. True apostolic is the recovery of a gospel that utterly transforms people that hear it. And you can tell a true apostle, at the very minimum, they have that gospel in them. And most of these guys, they haven't got the faintest. If I was to go up and talk to them and say, okay, so have you got the recovery of the true transforming gospel inside of you? Is that what you're preaching? They would look at me completely blank, you know. And to me, that's obvious in Scripture. That's the A1 thing, say, the Apostle Paul had, you know, that the focus was on the gospel that they preached and the power of it to transform people's lives. And of course, they have miracles and signs and wonders, and they're supposed to have all of the traits of New Testament Christianity. Well, you know, all of those tests are failed in the modern day, and so I don't want any part of that type of apostolic. And the same with the prophetic. It's just totally lacking, you know.
Right, amen. Well, you know, I'm in total agreement with you. You know, to me, and as I look at the Torah of the Old Testament, you know, I see, you know, there were prophets, but then, you know, once we had the Holy Spirit, you know, coming and dwelling us, you know, then there was the fivefold, and it was supposed to break forth with many apostles and prophets in order to make the man of God perfect, you know, and to try to until Messiah comes. But, you know, with what you're saying is what I agree with. We've got these people that want to be apostle because they claim that's the highest power, so then they have authority over all the other gifts. I myself use the Pastor Dan because merely that's what the people that I ministered to started calling me was Pastor Dan. And so, you know, it stuck and carried over to radio, you know. I believe that if a man is something, then, you know, he doesn't have to put a title on it. You know, his actions and works will show it.
Yeah, and that's true. And that's where it's at. You know, that the whole thing is there's all this vying going on. There's all this power play. Now, that's not what the New Testament is. The New Testament is the exact opposite of that. And Jesus said, you know, whoever is greatest amongst you, let him be your servant, you know.
Amen.
So the whole vying for position thing just shows where people's hearts are. They show that that people aren't recovering apostolic Christianity at all. In fact, it's nothing like it. It's just a big power play, and a lot of what's called the New Apostolic Reformation, well, they should just call everybody bishop so-and-so, because it's really hierarchical. You know, it's not New Testament in my opinion at all. It's you know, we're totally lacking New Testament Christianity. We just slap labels on things and call them Christian, and we've got to recover the gospel. We've got to recover the basics of New Testament. But like I say, brother, I believe the Great Reformation is coming. In fact, I believe the economic collapse that's going on now,
right,
and is going to totally dominate the developed nations of the world in the next few years. I believe God is going to use that to greatly smash down the worship of mammon in the church. He's going to rip the idolatry of mammon out of the church. He's going to bring massive shaking. He's going to raise up true prophets that are shown to be preaching truth in the midst of a great crisis.
Right.
And through all of that, I believe a great reformation is coming, and God is going to get his church back again. And that is what I believe is coming. And we're going to see a real New Testament Christianity at the end of all of this. I think there's terrible disaster coming to the West. I think America is going to come under severe judgments, the like of which we haven't yet seen. And many other nations as well, not just America, but... you know, I don't believe my own country of New Zealand is safe either, or Australia. In fact, they have housing bubbles just as bad as America. So there's been just as much greed and just as much foolishness to do with money. And so all of this is going to come home, and God's going to use it to purge the church. And he's going to have his beautiful bride that's promised in Scripture without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He's going to have a holy bride, and he's going to get his church back. And boy, there's going to be a massive reformation. So to me, the true prophetic is crying out about that kind of stuff and is telling the church to repent, you know.
Yeah, amen. Of course, it's on the church to repent. And number one, I agree with you about there has to be what there's going to be. To me, that's what the Great Tribulation is all about, is getting the church right. We've got too much stuff. We've got too much materialistic things. And, you know, I don't see... People think they can go, you know, like you say, in that box once a week, and they did their whole Christian bit, and so now they're, you know, a saved person, and, you know, but it ain't going to work that way. God's going to take away the stuff, and that's what I get out of ministering to the poor a lot of times, is I'll see a man that's had everything, and God's been trying to get a hold of him and trying to get in touch, and he just won't cry out to God, so God takes everything away from him. And when God takes everything away from him, then he cries and he gets on his knees and he says, Father, I repent. I need you. I can't make it without you. And then at that point, then God reconnects with him. And I think that's what he has to do to the country and the world as a whole.
Yeah. Definitely the Western world has forgotten God. You know, we're just paying lip service to God as a whole. The thing that I love about being in the third world, you know, Nigeria is my greatest experience of that, I guess, is the hunger, even though there's a lot of error that has been sown, especially from the West pouring into Nigeria, fact of the matter is Nigeria is hungry. There's many young preachers there who literally, they'll walk for miles and sleep on earthen floors, and they're just totally sold out to God. They'll fast like we've never seen fasting before. They'll pray and pray and pray. These kind of hungry, Jesus-following, preachers and young people and the level of devotion to God and the level of hunger, spiritual hunger as well as physical hunger, of course, is just something to behold in those countries. And you see, Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit. What does that mean? They feel their poverty of spirit. They're hungry. They want to know more. They want to hear more about God. They'll travel for miles to hear a preacher, from overseas or whatever. And this kind of thing is so refreshing. When you come back to the West, our youth are just inbred with rebellion from their earliest days, and they've got a cynical kind of sneering attitude about stuff. A lot of our people are just too comfortable, apathetic to really hunger and seek after God. It's just an entirely different attitude, and I don't know what level of breaking is needed to bring the West, the affluent West, back to God again, back to that hunger again, but it's totally lacking. And I'd far rather spend my time preaching to people who are hungry after the truth. And so I aim to spend a lot more time in the third world from now on. And, to be honest with you, there's a growing temptation inside of me just wanting to withdraw from
America,
ministering to kind of comfortable, affluent people. It's just so frustrating, and it's so hard to get a real zeal and real commitment. People will give money, and people will come along and listen to sermons, and they love going to meetings, especially if they can get a buzz, of some kind out of it, or a spiritual
right.
experience. But it's just not the same kind of hunger, and that's what I love about Nigeria.
Yes, well, amen. Hey, do you not, didn't you say you preached sometimes to tent cities and stuff in California?
Sure, and, we've for a long time been down in Skid Row, most weekends, here in California as well, down in Los Angeles, and of course a lot of the people are drug addicts or they're on various forms of addiction, and I mean it's really a dark place down in Skid Row, and there's a tent city not far from here. But I would rather any day preach in the third world than preach down there, because again there is still a voluntary blindness about a lot of people on Skid Row, and I'm sure you've seen this, brother.
Oh, sure.
You go amongst addicts, even on Skid Row, give you an example, there are missions up and down that area that'll feed you, that'll, hopefully give you a place to sleep, or, there's endless food going on down there, and, there's just an attitude, even amongst the homeless people on Skid Row, of kind of entitlement and in some ways laziness, and they can kind of support their habit while they live down there, and a lot of them are happy doing that, and they hear us preaching on sin and righteousness and judgment, and some of them get convicted, but for the very large part, they're like a lot of America, they're happy in their sins, and even though they're living what we would think of as a degraded existence, they're almost volunteering for it, and so there are the odd ones and twos that come out of it and that listen to the preaching, and we've continued to be faithful to that calling, because at least they are truly poor people. But I would minister to the poor of the third world any day. In comparison with those addicts down there,
with the drug addicts, our our place was in a pretty nice neighborhood for about 7 years. This is our 8th year being in doing things, and we got evicted because people didn't like the homeless, you know, and the poor, and so we moved into a place that is right in the midst of, you know, prostitution and, you know, drug addicts, the whole ball of wax. And I do know what you mean about, you know, a lot of them, yeah, they have that attitude. But, you know, I've also seen some pretty great miracles with some of the guys and gals that, you know, they've seen the kindness and, you know, they first couldn't figure out why in the world I'm there. It's a dangerous territory. But once they got used to me, they know who I am. Well, you know, the kindness and the showing of Jesus' heart to them and loving them. And once like this, you know, just as we was going into Thanksgiving, we were working as an overflow, and this other shelter opened up that has beds and everything, and they came in, and everybody's right next to each other on the hard floor with just a blanket, and they asked them, they said, okay, we've got room for 3 beds, you know, 3 men. We can take 3 men to beds. And they said, we don't want to go. And they said, well, why don't you want to go? And they said, well, because Pastor Dan loves us. And, you know, we show them love and kindness, and we have seen a lot of miracles. You know, percentage-wise, it's probably less than a quarter of them that we can get through to. But praise the Lord, you know, that's where he put me and put us, and a quarter of them, well, to me, that's a good number.
Amen. That's a very good number. And you know, you're being very effective if you're getting to that many of them. That's a really high number for homeless in America, because there's a complacency even amongst the homeless. We see it all the time. In fact, we've had some hilarious experiences feeding down, and we have people come, you know, like we'll be giving out donuts or something, and we'll have people, homeless people coming up and saying, oh no, I can't have that because I'm on a diet.
Yeah, I know. I have, you know, there's food in Wichita, you know, but the problem when there's fall down is the bed situation, you know.
Yeah.
There just isn't. But yeah, I understand what you mean about that. But yeah, we if they play the system, and I've seen a lot of guys play the system and literally come out when they first came out to homelessness, they were fairly skinny, and now they're really big, you know. I mean, and that's just from eating at different places. But praise the Lord, you know, our place is different. I offer first aid. We ask the Lord to bring us the worst of the worst. I get guys walk in beat up and bloody and everything, and I clean them up, you know, and give them love, something that they just don't get everywhere else. We treat them as family. And, you know, again, it was where God told me directly to go and told us what to do. And we are seeing the biggest miracle that we can hope to see is when somebody receives the Lord and then we don't see them, because we're not trying to build a church of homeless people. We're trying to get them saved and get them out of there and get them someplace else. You understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely. That's one of the best signs you can ever see is when they disappear. It means they've gotten out of the environment, which is really what's got to happen.
Yeah, amen.
But, yeah.
They can't keep staying there, you know, and keep coming back because it won't work.
And,
well,
brother, you know,
go ahead.
Everybody needs to be involved in that kind of ministry. You know, there's every excuse under the sun why a lot of Christians say, oh, no, that's not for me. You know, I'm not called to that kind of ministry. Well, basically, the whole early church was involved with the poor. I mean, you know, that's the message that comes across loud and clear. You read the book of Acts repeatedly at the whole first 6 chapters of Acts. You see it over and over again, how deeply they're involved with the poor, feeding the poor, ministering to the poor, the healing of the sick, preaching to the poor. You know, you can't cop out of this type of ministry, and the fact that the church is copping out of it to a very large degree says to me, well, are you the church then? Because I don't think you are. I mean, if you're copping out of that type of ministry and making all kinds of excuses why you can't be involved in it, you know, really, anybody can be. We've seen grandmothers come down with us. They love it. You know, people,
amen.
It's not as dangerous as people think because God protects you.
Amen.
And, you know, it's really something that we have to be involved with as the church. Otherwise, I don't believe we are the church. And so, it's as simple as that, brother, and I really commend you for doing that kind of stuff, and it sounds like you're being very effective. And, you know, if you're going to be in America, those are the poor people that you've got to reach out to, because we don't have as many orphans and widows in the same state that, you know, Nigeria does, and it's not as obvious finding the poor, but they're out there and they need ministering.
Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to have to say goodbye to you. I've got about a minute left. And so why don't you give I really appreciate you being on. And I want you to know I wasn't trying to ring my bell. I was just trying to share my experience with you.
Sure.
But praise the Lord. Why don't you give them your website again, and one of these, we'll have you back on again sometime. And thanks for coming on.
That'd be great, brother. Yep. The website is www.revivalschool.com. And there's a bunch of articles there. There's all kinds of videos. There's lots of information. If people want to write to me, it's prophetic@revivalschool.com. That's my email. So, thanks for having me on, brother. It's been
all right.
Great.
Well, praise the Lord. Goodbye and shalom to you.
God bless.
God bless. Well, praise the Lord, saints. I'm glad to have him on. And you need to really take this program to heart. While prophecy's okay and being a prophet's okay, if that's what you're called to do, amen. But you've got to have all of it. The gospel carries all of it. It's not just being a prophet. It has everything else to do with what we were talking about. You have to minister to the poor, and you have to do that. Otherwise, you know, like Andrew said, are you the church? In the meantime, Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord's face shines upon you and is gracious to you and gives you peace. Until next week, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch. Time is money and knowledge is power. That's why you need the Basic Research Library CD from the American Voice now. This CD contains the Federalist Papers, which are the definitive writings illustrating the intent of the Constitution, and the Anti-Federalist Papers, which read like a crystal ball to everything gone wrong concerning the present-day Constitution. This CD also contains Bouvier's Law Dictionary and the Uniform Commercial Code, plus the inaugural speeches of the U.S. presidents, the U.N. Charter, NAFTA, Hitler's Mein Kampf, the full Communist Manifesto, the Patriot Act 1 and 2, the model anti-bioterrorism law, the Homeland Security Bill, the FBI's Project Nadigo, and too much more to mention here. The CD contains over 1,000 files. To order your CD, go to www.theamericanvoice.com or call us at 541-826-9050. That's 541-826-9050 for ordering information.
Can your family survive a food shortage lasting 2 weeks, 6 months, or maybe longer? Sound far-fetched? We live in precarious times. There is an ever-increasing possibility of food shortages caused by terrorist attacks, natural disasters, truck strikes, or monetary collapse. You owe it to yourself and family to prepare, and you can by getting a supply of our long-storing, freeze-dried, and dehydrated foods. Our foods are time-tested to store for decades, require a minimum of time and energy to prepare, while maintaining superior nutritional value, freshness, and taste. Our food